Oof.
Christmas time in Hollis, Queens. Mom's cooking chicken macaroni and cheese.
Yeah. Oh. Welcome, everybody, to the podcast Hot Tub. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, blessed Ramadan, happy Chanukah.
Yeah, we're in the middle of Hanukkah.
We are in the middle of Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah.
Happy buddy. Hanukkah, everyone. I'm lighting a candle.
Oh, yeah. What night are we on? Is it night 5 or 6?
You know, I don't know, but I'm looking forward to my Hanukkah present from you tonight. Oh, man. It's been a while since we've been around. Again, slackers as usual, but I'm happy to be here. It's your boy TJ. I'm with my partner in crime, Ron. How are you doing, Ron?
I'm doing good.
You don't have COVID, so you're doing great.
I don't have COVID, and you mentioned Hanukkah, and it was really funny because my son, he's in kindergarten, and he goes 4 days a week, 2.5 hours, and then the second half of the class goes the other half of the day. They've just kind of broken everything up. And my wife gets a text from his teacher that says, "Do you guys celebrate Hanukkah?"
Yeah, we do.
And my wife responds, "No, we don't." Is confused why the teacher's asking, because she's basically asking what her religion is.
Right.
And she said, well, told the whole class today that you guys celebrate Hanukkah, and was just checking or not checking, or I don't know what she wanted, if she wanted a lesson or if she wanted some challah bread, or
I think she was double checking because she's gonna make Cooper wear a yellow star on his clothing from the rest of the time.
I wouldn't rule it out. My son is always down for a party.
Yeah.
And so I think he heard it as who wants to celebrate and raised his hand and said, "I'm in."
Totally.
If there's
who a celebrates Hanukkah?
If there's a celebration, doesn't matter who, I'm down.
You know what? I really appreciate that, because what your son is saying is, I'm an ally
of the
Jewish faith, and I'm down to party. And what he's also doing is setting himself up to take all the Jewish high holidays when he's working as actual holidays, because when you're Jewish, you get both. When I was working in New York, they were like every other month there was an extra holiday Jewish, and I was so jealous.
Dude, and such good, rich traditions in the Jewish faith. And the food's great. I went to a Jewish wedding.
Dude, the food is not good.
Well, the bread's good.
You've been to
good.
A Seder? Okay, the challah bread?
The challah bread? Like, went to a wedding, they had this giant loaf of challah bread. They broke it up like the sacrament.
Yeah.
Everyone got a good chunk of it. I mean, it's braided. It's
beautiful.
It's shiny.
Yellow, eggy.
And pastrami, a Jewish deli?
That is good, but what you haven't had is gefilte fish and the bitter root and the sick crap.
Matzo ball soup?
That's fine. It's
nothing
chicken noodle
better
soup.
Than that.
It's chicken noodle soup. Whatever.
With a little, you know, healing powers.
Yeah, with some soggy crackers.
I had some matzo ball soup in a hospital. I was out 3 days later. Oh. Never mind, I had been there like 15
we
days
should start
previously and was scheduled to get out 3 days later. I was still out 3 days later.
Well, I feel like we could start a multi-level marketing company, and our instead of essential oils, we'll be giving out matzo ball soup. You too can have the healing power of matzo ball soup.
We could probably start it in Utah, because I don't think they've really caught on to like the healing powers of matzo ball know enough to question it.
No, so they wouldn't.
We start Utah, Idaho, then we sell the company and then just walk away.
I agree. Okay. I'm all in.
Oh, dude, I'm so excited.
I'm all in. You know what I'm excited about?
Tell me.
It's the Christmas season.
Oh, yeah.
I got the Christmas spirit. I just gave you a Christmas present. But you know what I'm we're not going to talk about it on air.
Yep.
It's a secret. That's only for Patreon subscribers. But we did give each other a lot of Christmas presents this year.
Oh, my gosh.
And they're coming in the mail.
Mine are rolling in. I'm not opening them. I'm just putting in the closet.
Yes.
Let me ask you a question. So, so to fill people in, if they don't remember the episode, we gave each other a $100 limit.
That's right.
Unfortunately, what I've discovered when I did my shopping is you spend just as much on the gifts as you do on shipping.
Dude, it's all shipping.
So I spent like the $100 and I'm like, oh,
yeah,
this is really going to be $160, isn't it?
The shipping is ridiculous.
So
it's ridiculous.
So did you go for Things you thought I would like.
Wait, go back up. So we each gave each other $100.
Yep.
But the task was we would buy fun things for each other
right.
on Wish, the dumpster fire of the internet. Right?
The flea market of the internet.
The flea market of the internet. Yeah. Yeah. So as you guys go on Wish, do a Google, like do a search, look for anything around weapons or anything.
Shoes, clothing, toys.
Lots of toys.
For me, a lot of it was weapons. I mean, just the weapons and the stuff you can order, it's pretty remarkable.
It is. It is kind of like the stuff. Remember Boys Life magazine?
Yes.
in the back of Boys Life magazine, that was a magazine for Boy Scouts or for survivors, as I like to call them.
Oh, dude. No. No. So,
in the back of this magazine for grown men who like boys and Boy Scouts, there is a there's like all these advertising where you can mail order like a new Bowie knife or like an archery set, and it Wish has taken that Boy's Life back of the magazine and put it on the internet, like an Amazon.com experience.
Steroids.
Yeah.
Mine was, I don't remember Boy's Life as much as we would get Oriental Trading.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Dude, that was the jam. And I remember thinking,
Mom, I can buy 500 plastic whistles for $6.
Right? I can get 300 bouncy balls for $24. Can we do this?
I want to do that.
And now you want to do that.
Yeah. What would we do with 300 bouncy balls?
Well, we got to be careful because I saw a story of, you know how everyone wants to be YouTube famous?
Yes.
There was this couple, small family. I think their kid got removed by CPS because they were driving down a busy street and they had a flatbed with their two kids in the back. And as they're driving down the street, they made the bed go down. And out rolled like thousands of bouncy balls that they bought online because they thought it would be funny to record the chaos that ensued.
Oh my gosh. Like, did the kids fall out the back?
No, the kids were fine, but everything about
it. Did it
cause a wreck? I don't think it did, but can you imagine like the poor guy who works for the city who's getting paid like $13 an hour? Like, let me pick up 5,000 bouncy balls today.
You know what would happen on our street if that happened? Is that they would all run down one storm drain.
Yeah.
And it would just plug up and the whole neighborhood would flood one day with a storm,
no,
right?
Because no,
you wouldn't even know.
It's even worse than that. It's going to go through the storm drain. We Kill live by turtle. The coast. It's going to end up in the mouth of a turtle.
And bouncy balls will be banned forever.
All bouncy balls will now have to be paper bouncy balls.
Right. You'll have to go to a restaurant and you'll say, hey, I'd like a bouncy ball with my Diet Coke. And they give you a paper one, and it tastes disgusting.
Even worse, you're going to put your quarter in that damn machine, you're going to turn the knob, and now it's going to be a paper bouncy ball.
Oh.
And you're going to be like, hey, what happened to my childhood?
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be over.
It would be, you unwrap the paper bouncy ball, and there would be an article about Gavin Newsom holding a turtle with a bouncy ball up his nose.
Oh my gosh, don't even get me started on that guy.
He's the best.
So back to the Wish thing. I was going to ask you, did you go for, and I haven't opened your presents yet.
Good.
Did you go for things you might like, or are you looking into shock and awe?
I actually went for things I wanted to see you use, like okay. try.
You still didn't answer my question.
It was not shock and awe as much as things I liked, but would never buy, but wanted to try out.
Okay. So you might actually like the things.
Right. Except for maybe for some of the there's like this weird extender set.
Yeah.
That I actually I don't know.
No, I don't know. I don't not know. Going there.
Not
to make me
there.
Taller. Wink. Mm-hmm. No, I didn't send this to you, but I will tell you because I was feeling the Christmas spirit and a listener in Chicago, one of my buddies, we trade Wish gifts from time to time throughout
sure,
the year.
It's fun.
And it was time for him. I got him a pen that is also a taser.
Oh,
I did not get this cool. for you, but yeah, it plugs in.
You can take that to work. No one will know.
Could you think of what a disaster it would be if you had that in your pocket thinking it's a pen and tried to go through the airport?
Oh my gosh. Or like the disaster when you accident, you know, once in a while you're like mindlessly like writing and then you're like, meh, meh, and then you put the pen in your mouth.
Oh, to chew on it.
You
oh
chew on
my
that pen,
gosh.
You are screwed.
Oh, that's like freaking Michelle Pfeiffer in Batman Returns.
I know. You know what we should do?
It's a good reference. You and I are probably the only ones who get it.
Michelle Pfeiffer in Batman Returns when she's Catwoman?
Yeah, and she kisses Christopher Walken at the end of the movie holding like a taser between them.
Oh.
She was a good Catwoman.
She was a good Catwoman. Let's not talk about her.
Okay. Yeah. But anyway, what were you saying? What should we do?
Oh, I was saying we should get that taser pen and let's get all of our kids and hold hands. And like, see if it shoots the electricity like through all the whole through. Family like a chain. Oh, but we wouldn't. Gosh. We can't do that with COVID because we're social distancing.
Yeah, we can't touch each other.
I guess we don't have to do.
But we can all hold metal rods that are 6 feet apart.
Ooh, even better.
There you go.
I want to be the last person.
Isn't that the one that like gets like?
I don't know. Oh. I'm selfishly saying that, thinking, oh, by the time it goes through all these bodies, the current will be a lot shorter, stronger. I mean, less.
Oh, yeah. Man. So yeah, I'm going to put all mine in the closet.
Good.
You have about 6 or 7, the last of which should be arriving early January.
Oh, big spender, 6 or 7. I think, I don't know how many I got you, like 4 or 5.
I know, but I'm a much better friend to you than you are to me.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is true. You get credit for that. Listen, you're just trying to dig out of a hole. And so you need some extra credit.
What hole am I trying to dig out of?
I don't know.
Okay.
Just because
of your birthday?
You don't know.
It was your birthday? I wished you a happy birthday yesterday. I
know. No, that's not why. I'm just messing with you. Do you love it when your spouse is mad at you and then you ask them, why are you mad at me? And they're like, I can't believe you don't know. I'm just trying to pull one of those.
You know what? Like, that is the cliche thing you see on TV.
Yeah.
My wife is pretty good about telling me why she's mad.
So is mine. My sometimes, former spouse, though, would hold it for like 3 years. I'm still mad at you, and I'm not telling you why because you should know.
Interesting. So she would do that.
Oh, yeah. It was so hard. It was so passive-aggressive.
Yeah.
So hard.
I might not always understand why she's mad about a particular thing, but she's really good about telling me.
1 year, I asked her for Christmas. I'm like, honey, or crazy person, will you... For Christmas this year, don't buy me anything.
Sure.
Just sit down for 10 minutes and write down on a piece of paper all the things you've been mad at me for that I don't know and you think I should know and give that to me as a Christmas gift.
Did you really say that to her?
No, but that would have been epic.
Oh, that would have been legendary.
That would have been legendary.
I can't even remember the sitcom. I saw, and it was a genius thing. I could never pull it off. The guy in the sitcom, he kept a journal of all the things that his wife did wrong and kept it like glued under the table. And so if he needed to remember something that she did wrong when she was throwing things at him,
yeah,
he could go look at 2 or 3 and reference those and then cross it off his list.
That he used it?
Yeah. So like, oh, I'm mad at you for this. Well, you did this. Okay, call it even? Sure. And I remember thinking, that's like, brilliant, but at the same time, I could never pull it off.
You know, yeah, there's no way. I am the worst at documenting anything and you know, keeping track of it. So there's no way. It's way too much work. If we were that smart, we would never do anything wrong because we'd be thinking so far ahead that we probably wouldn't.
And that's why I don't lie. I'm not smart enough to keep track of it.
Yeah. I don't play poker and because I can't lie as well. And I if I do lie, it's very obvious and it's impossible for me to give that poker face. My wife loves it, but I wish I could.
So
the deeds I would do. Just kidding. It's way too crappy to live your life that way.
But no, I just touched on it, man. You just had a birthday.
Yes, I did.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. 25 years old. Never felt better.
Dude, you have kids that
are close to 25.
Seniors in high school.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's biologically possible, but maybe.
You were just, you know, there was a reason why your baptism got delayed as a child.
It was a Mary Kay Letourneau situation.
Oh my gosh.
Just kidding.
Do you know what's funny? I don't think... What's the age group, do you think? So I was on a work call today,
yes.
And someone made a reference to DARE and the DARE program.
DARE program?
Drug something, whatever the acronym was. You remember just the DARE.
Yeah, just those cop cars with DARE written on it, and they would come to the school
yes.
and talk to you about drugs. I never saw... I would see commercials for it when I lived in Korea, because the one TV channel that we had that was English-speaking was put on by the U.S. Armed Forces, and instead of commercials, that you would see, like, during the commercial breaks for shows that they would play,
mm-hmm.
they would overlay public service announcements. So all we got were DARE commercials, McGruff. There was this guy from the FDA that would, like, tell you to brush your teeth and watch out for sugar. It was a terrible upbringing. We never saw commercials.
No. Yeah. Okay. Well, you even get the reference, though. So I was in a meeting, someone made the reference, and then I paused for a minute, and there were some people that were in their early 20s.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, just sanity check to see if I'm old. Do you have any idea what the DARE program was or is? And they had no freaking idea.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, we're old. I feel that way about Mary Kay Letourneau. I feel like anyone under 30 does not get that reference anymore.
No, there's no way. There's no way they know. And anyone under 30, there's been way more instances of that. And so I think they're just like, oh yeah, that happened to a million kids. No big deal.
Yeah. Okay. And now it's just weird. Did you see the previews for that show that's on FX?
Which one?
The Kate Mara, a teacher, it's called.
I'm not watching it. It's
gross. Oh, I'm not watching it either.
Yeah, I'm out.
Yeah.
Any kind of those types of shows with inappropriate relationships between adults and teenagers.
It doesn't matter which way it goes.
It doesn't matter. It's gross, and I'm not watching it, and I don't want to promote those ideas, and it's just, ugh.
Well, I'm trying to think of, like, what story are you trying to tell? Because there's some, like, hard movies and shows out there that teach a meaningful message or things that we shouldn't forget. Schindler's List. We probably shouldn't forget the Holocaust. You know, there's some...
There's really not anything redeemable about that at all. And it's not like a cautionary tale. Hollywood always makes it feel like it's like more interesting and salacious, and it's really not.
What lesson are we trying to learn?
This podcast has taken a turn. I want to do a 180 and get off this
topic.
Go back to your birthday.
Let's go back to your birthday.
Yes. Birthday was the best birthday I've ever had.
Okay.
And my wife did an excellent job of making it really special for me.
Okay, so you woke up. What happened?
Well, I woke up.
Remember, this is a PG podcast, bro.
It's a
PG-13.
Yeah, no. the thing is, I've been celebrating my birthday for a week, so it didn't matter what
good
happened
for you.
When I worked.
Yeah.
It started with she purchased a new television for us.
Nice.
So that's kind of awesome. And I found out
How big did you go, buddy?
I can't say. It's embarrassing because it's kind of epically big. And just so you guys know, sometimes a TV can almost be too big. I didn't think it was possible.
You shut your damn mouth. That is not.
And you know what? When I first put it up, it was too big and it was shocking. A week later, I'm totally used to it and it's epic and it's awesome. But I did have to turn down the brightness.
It's in the room. It's like full-size people in your bedroom.
Bigger than full-size. In fact, we were watching a movie with Gina Davis in it the other day. Do you remember Gina Davis?
I do.
It's actually a brand new movie.
League of Their Own, Gina Davis.
I don't remember. It was on...
And then she was the president in some TV series.
And then she was like a pirate in Hook.
Remember that was Glenn Close.
No, she was... I thought Gina Davis was in Hook. No. I'm pretty sure.
No.
I don't care. Well, anyway, Gina Davis was in this movie with Meryl Streep on one of those streaming services. And it's a new movie. Maybe it's on Netflix. Anyway, we're watching it. And her head is so big because of the big screen.
Right.
But what's really shocking is how big her mouth is.
Really?
She could swallow a normal size head on the TV.
I'm trying to think of who has a big head. Doesn't Minnie Driver have a notoriously big head?
Every actor in Hollywood, if you meet them in person, they have super giant heads and really small shoulders because that body type looks way better on camera. Right. So they're freakish. They're all like, they all look like lollipops like that are going to tip over.
We're kind of the opposite. We're like wobbly guys. We wobble, but we won't fall down. Do you remember?
Yeah. Yeah. Weeble wobbles.
Yeah. Small head, just kind of pear-shaped bodies.
Yeah. We're just pears rocking back and forth. They are lollipops just ready to tip over. Yeah.
Dude, well, congrats.
Yeah. So that was epic. And then we just had a great time. My kids gave me some great cards, and I got an amazing birthday present for my brother-in-law. He went down to Tijuana and got me a Julio Urias statue, who's number 7. He's a relief pitcher for the Dodgers. Sometimes he's a starting pitcher.
Okay.
Did excellent in the World Series. It says, 2020 champions. It's about 2 feet tall statue of him. It's like this giant bubble head.
Is he your favorite player?
It is so epic. He's one of my favorite Dodgers because he wears these weird glasses and has a wonky eye, and I just think he's the coolest because he's gotten through like his vision issues and he's like rocking it in the major leagues, and it's awesome.
That's pretty epic, man. It is. Well, you're going to have to post that on Instagram.
I will post it because it is one, and my daughter made a little Los Angeles, I don't know what these are called, Melty Beads square to go with it, so it's decorating.
Oh.
Commemorating the year 2020. And what's so beautiful and so symbolic about this is, yes, the Dodgers won the World Series in 2020.
Right.
Which is my dream. This statue is one of my favorite players. And the guy totally looks like he has COVID. Like, he's
No.
It's just kind of messed up, and he's just like, I'm a super spreader.
Yeah. No, you're not wrong. I've seen Christmas ornaments being advertised online where it's like, 2020 sucked, but at least the Dodgers won the World Series.
That's a good one. That's a really good one.
Yeah.
So, it's Christmas time. Forget my birthday. Yeah. It's about the birth of Christ. Yeah. So, let's move on to a much more important birthday and talk about our favorite Christmas traditions.
Okay.
So, I'd love to hear your favorite and then your least favorite from your family.
Sure. So, my favorite was Christmas Eve growing up. Every Christmas Eve, we would do fondue.
Okay.
And if you go to the Melting Pot, like, a lot of people, they do this thing where they get the mojo and it's all chicken-based vegetable broth and all that nonsense. We went full on oil. So, like, the house would reek for the rest of the night.
At your house?
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Because we would have 3, like, pots at the table.
So, you have a deep-fried Christmas.
Yeah. So, we have our fondue pots. Like, I have 4 brothers growing up, so we would need that many pots going around. And we'd have to run extension cords to other parts of the house so that we didn't blow a fuse and stuff like that.
What is epic is, when you were a teenager and a child, it was not the 70s. Your parents carried on the fondue tradition
And then they had like a bunch of other couples coming over and everyone would put their keys in a bowl. I don't know. We would have to go upstairs. I don't know. I'm just joking. But
did you get a Christmas leisure suit every year?
Like crushed velvet. Everyone would wear it to
Lovely.
The table.
Yeah.
And so we would do fondue and like steak and chicken. And my favorite part was like the tempura. So like everyone would have a bowl of tempura next to them with like broccoli and mozzarella cheese. So you can make like mini cheese sticks. And
nice.
I had like, I, you know, was a freaking pig. And as soon as it would come out of the hot oil, it would be in my mouth burning it. But like, I'd have a brother who would like make an entire plate of stuff and then just start eating like a, I don't know who has that sort of self-control.
That's the brother who's graduated from college. He's the winner.
That's the brother who's like back for his like second graduate degree.
Yeah, he's smart. He's a smart one. You can tell he's got
much
that,
smarter than I am.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was kind of my favorite. And then my brothers and I, we would exchange gifts Christmas Eve because we would just rotate through and, you know, buy for one. And then you go down the ladder and then sometimes we would all sleep in the same room. So like my traditions, my parents did so much during Christmas Eve. Morning was a fest of just opening stuff, but then no one really did anything. Like we didn't have a big Christmas dinner. We just kind of, there was like a breakfast casserole and then like just kind of fend for yourself because they like had worked really, really hard to put on Christmas Eve. So that,
yeah, Christmas Eve was always a big deal in our house, and Christmas Day was like fend for yourself.
Yeah,
everyone else has that big Christmas Day dinner, like right. The British tradition where they wear those stupid hats and do crackers like fireworks in the at the dinner table.
Yeah,
and they have the Christmas goose. That's a hard pass on the Christmas goose.
That's a hard pass on the Christmas goose,
dude. I have not asked. Oh, I had Christmas goose the other three Christmases ago,
and how was that?
Interesting. It was in Thailand, and they eat goose, goose intestines and goose for Christmas.
On purpose.
Well, not really for Christmas. They don't even celebrate Christmas, but yes, they do like it.
Oh.
They eat a lot of interesting stuff. It's pretty good.
No, I believe it. So, wait, what's your favorite tradition?
So, my family, my favorite tradition by far, in fact, my family is was so inspired by our tournament of Terrible.
Okay.
That they're having a tournament of Christmas
Ooh.
With 32 family traditions up against each other in a bracket style, in a bracket. And we're all going to be filling that out and seeing who wins, and we're going to be debating. And like, my mother is going to
happy tradition, or
yeah, these are all fun and happy, and okay. They're all good. They're not. And then I think there are some where like mom and dad fight. Yeah, that's one of them. No, they're all good traditions. My favorite Christmas tradition. And this is one where we haven't done it forever, but it was really fun. Is as we were getting older. I had a lot of siblings who were dating other people during Christmas.
Right.
And we were older, so it's kind of the normal kid traditions weren't as fun for us, but we made them fun. We altered them. So, you know, like people make gingerbread houses.
Right.
Right. And when you're a kid, you love it because there's all this candy, you do the frosting, the royal icing, you build a house and you decorate
it. Were you the monster who would actually eat your gingerbread house after you made
it? Oh, no. Dude, who eats those?
That is disgusting.
I agree.
Okay.
I'm glad you called that out. Nobody should eat a gingerbread house. Every time I watch that British Bake Off and they're like eating the gingerbread house, they're the only ones ever who have eaten it.
And I'm like,
there's so many hands on that crap.
And that is why we freaking separated from you guys. That is unacceptable if you're doing that.
Yeah, the British.
Yeah.
It was the tea and the bad teeth and the gingerbread.
Absolutely.
Eating the gingerbread houses.
In Texas.
Yeah. So we'd make gingerbread houses, but we would build them and we try to make the ugliest ones possible. So we're like adults making these things that nice. Look like worse than toddlers. But the best tradition is
right.
My one of my sisters had an ex-boyfriend that we thought was super snotty.
Okay.
And they lived in this big house, giant, like obviously a fairly wealthy home. And every year we would make these terrible looking gingerbread houses. And sometimes, you know, you just make different themes, like this is a hobo village or, you know, just terrible things.
Right.
And every year on the day after Christmas, because we'd put them up and laugh about them,
yeah,
we would ding-dong ditch them on the front step of her ex-boyfriend's house.
Like every year.
Like it's like a Secret Santa gift. Like, congratulations, here's some, like 10 ugly gingerbread houses on your front step.
No. Oh, my gosh.
Can you imagine opening your door and seeing this gross pile of gingerbread houses? Thank you for your garbage. I'll throw them away now.
Oh, that is funny. Oh, my gosh. So what was...
that's my favorite. Wow. And I can't believe I said that out loud.
And
because
your mom was cool with that?
Yeah, she would do it with us. My mom is insane. She's all about the pranks. And I think we did it about 5 or 6 years in a row. And it definitely, we can't do it anymore because everyone has those Ring doorbells and you'd be caught. But this was pre-Ring and it was so fun. Was so fun to leave some dirty gingerbread houses.
That is fantastic.
But it was fantastic because my mom has 6 kids. And then, you know, with our spouses and boyfriends, we're making about 12 gingerbread houses.
Oh, yeah.
And they all ended up on their front step at the same time.
Well, like, they didn't start expecting it. I mean, maybe they started
into it. You know what would be amazing is to interview them because we haven't done it and just say, do you remember those years, like 5 or 6 years in a row where you received these gingerbread houses? What was that like?
And they're probably like, I don't know. If that was me and it wasn't too hard to throw away, I might think it was funny.
It is funny. Mom, someone left their garbage on our front step.
Not garbage. Someone left
it's like art.
A gingerbread village on the step. It appears this year the theme is fill in the blank.
Yeah. Thank goodness for the bulk section in Winco. You can get about 500 pounds of different candies and
gingerbread,
for nothing.
Gingerbread house candy, the stuff that you use,
it's your grandma candy.
It's no, like grandma.
It's those weird hard candies.
Butterscotch,
the ribbons
is delightful, but like peppermints and like
yeah,
the
that's
cinnamon
grandma candy.
Craps and gumdrops.
Those are grandma candies.
That sucks.
My grandma always had spice drops. You think you're about to get this fruity like gumdrop, and you're like, and you pop it in your mouth, and you're like, clove. Who likes clove? Actually, I do. I'm an old man.
That's a good tradition. If I could think of one that I didn't like. I wasn't a big fan, and this is just so minor, it's not even important.
Yeah.
We always had to take a picture on the top of the stairs. And so it was like,
so
we're chomping at the bit to like go down and open
before
gifts.
You go down for Christmas.
And so they're like, they would always do this production of, you know, dad got to go down first. Whoa, you guys won't believe all the stuff that's down here.
Yeah, and you got to build the hype. Your dad was like the Michael Buffer of Christmas morning.
That's right.
Let's get ready to unwrap.
They were like inching down like, no, you guys stay there. We haven't taken our picture yet. Mom's not ready. Mm. And I had an older brother who like didn't feel the anxiousness of Christmas. So like Christmas morning, I would wake up at like 5:30 in the morning, couldn't fall asleep till 2 o'clock.
Right.
Was like, oh my gosh, we get open presents. And my brother just, he could sleep till 8 or 9 on Christmas morning.
And he's a psycho.
I know, right?
He's probably, is this the other, the smart one that like made all his food and put a plate together?
No, different okay. one. This
I was going to say, if he had both of those characteristics.
This one is smart. Like he has a meaningful degree, chemistry degree, like science.
Yeah, yeah.
I got a history degree. I acknowledge that. Yeah, that doesn't really cut the mustard. So, but he could just sleep. It didn't matter what holiday was around the corner.
Hold on a second. You just admitted you got a history degree?
Oh, yeah.
And you're employed? You were a Christmas miracle, my friend.
I had to go get 2 graduate degrees to make up for it.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. No, I acknowledge that. What tradition were you not too fond of?
You know what? I can't think of any. Oh, yeah. I guess my tradition that I'm not fond of is actually a tradition that I had to adopt when marrying my wife. Her family is amazing. Just all the caveats out there. They're awesome. I love them. They're amazing people. But they love to go caroling on Christmas.
Oh, no.
Right? Like door to door. Wear a Christmas hat. Someone's got a silly like Dickens hat on, and you're going to sing a whole bunch of hymns at full voice. And I appreciate that old people may like it. I have not validated that. And it does bring the Christmas spirit. But I guess what it may be is that you just need to recreate the horror and the humiliation of all of the Christmas programs you did as a child.
Right.
Where you had to go out and sing, and it was just like, I can't wait for the Christmas program to be over so I can get on with my life.
See, caroling confuses me because I don't know what to do with the people at my door. Because I'm like,
well, that's why I don't like it, because I have that same problem.
Do I invite you in?
Not like, this year.
Should I have put pants on before I answer the door?
Like, so many questions.
Oh, so now you're making me put on pants to answer my door. So now I resent you a little bit.
Right. So that's the thing is, I actually don't mind the singing. And I'm all for, you know, group family singing. It's the, I don't know if I'm imposing on the person that we're at there. And so they have to like, I'm sure most people really enjoy it. But there was one family that used to carol in my old neighborhood, and they would come every year. And it was awkward as heck for me because I didn't really know them. And I'd just stand there and smile and go, this is great. And then I'd be like, I want to go back to the football game.
I think there should be like ground rules. I feel strongly about certain things like destination weddings. I have a lot of strong opinions. I have caroling. I feel like
that would be a topic for later.
You should be singing as you walk up to the house, a song when they open, and then start singing more as you're walking away. So it's like, don't give the people a chance to like invite you in. So there's no like, no
awkwardness.
We came to sing and maybe hand you a candy cane and we're out to the next house.
Oh no, we came and we want some figgy pudding and we won't leave until we get some.
Okay. The other thing that would be really funny is if like went to a house and just 3 straight hours just sat out there and sang and like just made the people feel really uncomfortable.
Dude, that would be an epic prank. Just do it forever. And then just keep on singing, we won't leave until we get some. We want like for 7 hours straight. That would be some weird psyops thing situation. Psyops, like you're taking people down.
You're calling the police.
Yeah.
Carolers won't leave my house. They've been singing
tough. For we're not coming out.
4 hours.
Yeah. Hey, we need dispatch. We have another caroling situation.
Oh, man.
That is so brutal. Yeah, caroling is super fun because it does bring the Christmas spirit, but there is the awkward, what do you do at the door? And what I guess, you know what it is? It's all about picking the right people to go to.
Yeah, no, yeah. And I think that's fair. I the other thing that I'm struggling with to get in the Christmas spirit this year is my kids are transitioning from like being little kids to being older. And so the stuff that they like, I'm, you know, they're not going to dig a Hot Wheels racetrack. They're not going to spend time with it. And so now it's like, here's a game for your Switch, or here's this, and things cost more money. And it's just making me feel a little grinchy, man. I don't know what to do about that. How did you handle the transition?
The transition of what?
When you're like buying like kind of cool toys, like here's a monster truck or here's a remote control car, and now you're buying like electronics and headphones and all this other jazz. And
yeah,
it's not as fun anymore.
It isn't as fun. But what is, it gets a lot more expensive,
yes.
Right? The older they get, it gets a lot more expensive. And the present count gets a lot smaller.
Yes.
Because when they're little, there's just tons of stuff they want. And like even just the little plastic figurine, right?
Dude, $50, you get a ton of stuff.
Yeah. A ton of stuff. Yeah, it is a weird transition. And it does take away a little bit of the magic. But what becomes more fun is to watch your kids. Well, the stuff that you buy them is way more fun to play with.
Right.
So that transition helps a lot.
Okay.
So the magic goes away, but you buy them stuff that you actually enjoy playing. Like, ooh, I got to give my kids a Wii. Oh, I want to play with the Wii. I'm good, right? Like, so it becomes really exciting. And I find even my dad, one of our sponsors of the podcast, he buys us stuff, I think, because he secretly wants to try it or hear about if it's cool.
And then so you know to get one for himself.
And so I do the same thing for my kids, and it's awesome and it's fun. So that transitions to a point where, like, hey, I'm going to get you a Razor scooter, but I'm going to try it out, right? Like, I'm not giving up on that. Yeah. Oh, so it does get better. But what's interesting is what I had to go through when we blended a family was blend Christmas traditions.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah. And when you get married, you have to do the same.
Sure.
Right? So what were some things that you capitulated on, and what were some things that you said, no, we're not doing? Did her family have any weird ones?
They didn't.
Or good ones?
They didn't have any weird ones that I could really...
So which ones do you add on to your family then when you were married?
Ours was all, you know, we did the traditional, it all lined up. So like reading Luke 2, the Christmas story.
Yeah, that works, stuff. Right?
Yeah, that all fit into it. Where it got hard, and I want to hear about your guys' experience, probably a lot more challenging than us trying to figure it out, was what to do with, we used to go to my parents for Christmas Eve and my wife's family for Christmas Day, and like we reached a point where I was kind of the stubborn one and saying, I want to have my own Christmas tree. I want to have, you know, my kids go have their stocking at home. I don't really want to do this anymore.
When you have little babies, it doesn't matter. But when they grow up, you need to establish it in your own home.
And that's a really hard conversation to have. And I only have, or I think so. And I only have my family and, you know, my wife's family to worry about.
Yeah.
And you guys are worrying about, you're juggling a lot more stuff.
Yeah, we didn't really have any really crazy Christmas traditions that didn't line up when I married my wife.
Right.
It actually was shocking how similar they were.
But how did you...
But then I found out we were fifth cousins, and it made all the sense in the world.
No, that makes sense. But how did you like split time and determine who's going to do what?
The beautiful thing is her parents live about a mile away from my mom.
Okay.
And so we just go to one place and we celebrate. My dad lives in South Korea. He's so far away that it doesn't become an issue for us.
Sure.
So we are really, really, really lucky. The one tradition that we had to adopt that I actually really like is we read the story by Oscar Wilde. And it's called The Little Prince, and it's about this swallow that's with this prince, and it gives away the jewels from the statue to the city, and it's very sweet. But what I love about it's a great story, and I love it. It's all about sacrifice and that's sort of the spirit of giving.
Yeah.
But my favorite thing about it is it's written by Oscar Wilde, who is notoriously gay, and her family's super ultra religious conservatives.
No, we
so it's
that.
Amazing.
I think we also read Gifts of the Magi at least sometime during that. The whole cut the hair.
That makes me cry every time.
I know. I can't handle it.
I bawl like a baby.
I just thought of the Christmas tradition that we started in the last few years that I am not a fan of.
Tell me.
Elf on the freaking shelf.
Oh, that needs to end. We never started it because we're not masochists, but I see the posts on Instagram, and every time I see them, I'm so happy we don't do it.
Okay, but do you know the baller move that my wife did this year? I mean, that Oliver, our elf, did this year.
What's that?
So I told her in the beginning, I just said, Oliver only shows up for like 12 days of Christmas, right? So that way we're, Oliver doesn't have to move around.
Yeah, it comes out on the 13th, right?
Right. So yeah, yeah. He's just monitoring the 12 days. You can tie it into the song, whatever. Right. Like, you can make it make sense. He showed up on the 1st this year.
Ooh.
But do you know what Oliver had to do?
He had to quarantine?
Oliver had to quarantine.
Oh.
And so Oliver was just spinning circles in a candy dish that's in the front entryway, or a jar in the front entryway, checking off boxes as to when he can come out and do stuff.
You have a little biohazard symbol on the glass jar there.
Yeah, and so in the last few years, it was like, it was really funny because I can't go to bed and turn off the lights and decompress unless I know everything's, a box has been checked.
Yeah.
And so it slowly became my responsibility to move
the elf.
Oliver every day and be the creative one there.
Yeah. That's a great name, by the way, Oliver, for your elf. It reminds me of the orphan boy, Oliver, the Dickens novel.
Oliver Twist. I think it's a good one. And this year, we have one true believer and one who's been educated and had to break the news to.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, like, it's been actually not as bad because she's gotten in the Christmas spirit.
She can actually move Oliver for you.
She's the one that's moving him now.
Yes, she can do the creativity.
And so, yeah, it's that's been kind of cool. Still, whoever invented Elf on the Shelf should be shot.
Well, someone gave me one, and it quickly became Elf in the Garbage.
Well, here's my problem with it. Like, if it was just Elf on the Shelf and you were leaving him on the damn fireplace, I'm saying damn a lot this podcast, and I apologize. But, like, if you just left it on the fireplace or on a bookcase, great. Whoever decided that it had to move and do funny things and be creative and stuff like that, that's what really kills me.
Yeah, that, you know, that women give us a lot of great things, and in fact, I give them credit for most things in the world, but I guarantee you that was done by someone who wanted, some woman mommy blog poster that decided, hey, I know how to get some followers. We're just going to do creative ways to put on the elf and blog about
it. There's got to be like thousands of Instagram pages and Pinterest pages devoted to
billions.
Oh.
Billions. Around the world. No, you're great. So that's a terrible tradition that I'm not going to adopt. And thank goodness my kids are old enough. Here's some ones I think maybe we want to adopt around the world.
Okay.
So Japan, their Christmas tradition, all they want for Christmas is a little KFC.
Shut up.
They don't have turkey. In fact, because of the demand of KFC on Christmas in Japan, there's an online service so that you can order your Christmas bucket in advance to make sure your family can celebrate Christmas the right way with chicken from the Colonel.
Christmas with the Colonel. That is amazing.
You know what? Thinking back to all the Christmas dinners I have had, KFC wouldn't be that bad. I don't think it would be at the bottom.
You know what?
It might be near the top.
Me and the Japanese, we are on lockstep with this. We're getting like a little outdoor fire pit this year. And I've already looked into, do you know that they have like Yule logs, those 3-hour burning logs? And
yeah,
there is like KFC scented ones.
I know. I sent you a text the other day and you said, let's go buy one. I haven't seen one yet. I think they're only sold in Walmart.
And I think they're sold out.
Oh, I'm sure they have. But I want to smell one so bad.
Oh my gosh. I am so excited to
Secret
find
spices
one.
And a burning log.
I almost
log.
Went to order one, and then I saw the shipping was like more than the log was going to cost.
Yeah, that's not happening.
But I'm going to break down and do it for the podcast.
I hope you do, and I'd like to smell it. We don't have an indoor fireplace, so we'd have to burn it outside, and I feel like it just wouldn't make the smell.
In the podcast hot tub, burning a Yule log that smells like KFC, is there anything that's more Two Fat Dads appropriate?
The only thing would be we would have to be drinking Diet Coke at the same time.
Oh, well, that's a given.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Keep going.
All right. So in Caracas, Venezuela,
right,
they have combined
cocaine,
one of our favorite parts of Sonic Drive-In, and church at Christmas. In the week leading up to Christmas, Venezuelans attend a daily church service called Misa de Aguinaldo, early morning mass. And in the capital, Caracas, it's customary to travel to church service on roller skates.
That's interesting.
Bizarre. Yeah, roller skate sales are super up in Venezuela. And I think Chavez actually cracked down and ended that tradition. But it sounds fun. Roller skate Christmas.
That's an older city, too. All I'm picturing, though, is like cobblestone streets and trying to roller skate.
Dude, that would be some bloody knees.
I'm falling Impossible. Down enough. What's interesting, though, is the Catholics, I think, have it figured out. They have that midnight mass on Christmas Eve. And then a lot of families that I knew growing up who were Catholic would immediately go home and open all of their presents at 1 a.m.
Oh my gosh.
That's a pretty baller move.
That would be.
Anyway.
So folks in Catalonia, so that's an area in Spain.
Okay, good, because I couldn't tell you where that
Locals in Catalonia create a character out of a log, drawing a face on it, giving it a hat, and then they spend a fortnight, that's 2 weeks, feeding it fruit, nuts, and sweets. So you feed a log fruit, nuts, and sweets. On Christmas Eve, the entire family beats the log with sticks and sings a traditional song that translates to, "If you don't crap well, I'll beat you with a stick." I did not know that was coming. "I'll beat you with a stick until the log excretes all of its treats." It's hard to comprehend why this tradition hasn't caught on elsewhere. It's kind of like a log pinata.
How do you feed a log?
They must hollow out a log. There's a YouTube video explaining this. I've got to check it out.
Okay.
They also decorate their nativity scenes with small pooping ceramic figurines. Usually well-known characters, often drawn from the year's news. The figurines also have their pants around their ankles.
See, that's weird. The only thing I've seen in the United States is like...
The pooping reindeer toys. Right.
They're stocking stuffers.
Yes.
You push down the antlers and like a jelly bean pops out.
Yeah. And we talked... So, I feel like we need to have a pooping stick.
Yeah.
My family does a pinata every year, which I know is super weird.
No,
it's not really a Christmas thing. But we decorate the pinata based on a theme. So, 1 year... We had a theme about cheese, like we were cheesy people, and we had a big Christmas cheese, like
pinata,
and we wore the Green Bay Packers cheese head hats.
Dude, there's nothing wrong with that. We just recently celebrated my brother's birthday.
Yeah,
and at my parents' house, it was just my family and him, and my folks. We had a pinata. We threw hammers at it. We shot bows and arrows at it.
Fun.
Like, pinatas, when you're older, it's great. You just dial up the risk.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Oh, man. No,
I think some of the things that you'll be getting from Wish may be helpful with that. And then lastly,
sure,
we are not moving to Greenland. Okay. I really wanted Trump to buy Greenland when he proposed that. I thought it was one of his most genius
ideas. Oh, that was such a baller move.
It was such a baller move, and it really isn't a bad idea because I suspect that the mineral value of Greenland would be way more than what we would pay for it.
And in fact, get a foothold into Europe, I think.
Right. So we were watching a stupid rom-com with Sandra Bullock and Ryan Reynolds where they go to Alaska.
The Proposal.
And we looked up Alaska and we're like, man, Alaska is such a weird place, right? We looked up the history. So Seward was a senator, bought Alaska from Russia for like 2 cents an acre. And they upped the value today. It would be with inflation. When we bought Alaska, it was the end of the 1800s. It'd only be 46 cents an acre. We destroyed it. When you think about how much oil, gold, all the natural resources we got from Russia.
Oh, when polar we bears Alaska. That we could kill?
Yeah, we got so many polar bears to kill. It's amazing.
Oh, my gosh.
So think that was a great value. So Greenland, totally wish we had bought it, but we're not doing Christmas dinner there.
Okay, why not?
So guess what they eat for Christmas?
Small children.
No, that's Indonesia.
Oh,
no, just kidding. Each Christmas, they tuck into matak. It's raw whale skin with tree blubber and kitty egg.
Wait, tree blubber?
Whale blubber, sorry.
Okay, because...
Raw whale skin with a little blubber. I don't have my reading glasses on, and so I have a hard time with these things.
1 year older and blinder. Dude, hey, homeschool. Oh, stop right now. Stop right now.
Okay.
You realize your reading glasses are on your head.
I didn't know that. That is the ultimate sign.
That is old. So you're like, I don't have my reading glasses. I'm sorry. And they... Oh, no way, man.
You know how many pairs of reading glasses? This is the first year I've had to have them.
That's okay. Hey, my mom's the same way. Do you know how many pairs
I have in my house?
My mom's the same way.
I have about 40 pairs everywhere. Most, the house is littered with them.
Most seniors do that. It's okay, buddy.
They only cost like $3. That's what's so beautiful about them.
Oh, my gosh. That was priceless, buddy. Yeah. Anyway, keep going. Sorry.
So, not only are you going to have whale blubber with skin, raw whale skin wrapped around it. Worse, we got to try this. They eat a dish at Christmas called kiviak, and it's made by wrapping a small Arctic bird called an auk with seal skin. They bury it for several months, and they eat the decomposing flesh of the bird.
Oh, gosh.
Like, honestly, that cannot be FDA approved for consumption.
No.
We are, Trump, you tried to buy Greenland. I think we got off easy because that Christmas tradition is very un-American. It's very un-American. That's not making America great again.
No.
That's making America sick again.
I hope Biden does that, though. I mean, that was the funnest thing. Honestly,
we
got to
push that. Yeah.
Well, no, just throw it out like random countries. Like, just have your press secretary or Biden can do it, or someone say, we're looking into possibly purchasing Morocco.
Yeah.
So or things like that.
Based on these Christmas traditions, I'm just, which country we should buy. I'm down for Portugal for the pooping stick.
Yeah.
And then or Catalonia, sorry, that part of Spain. And then I'm super down for buying Japan so that we can bring KFC as our traditional Christmas dinner.
Oh my gosh. They would be a great sponsor.
They would.
The only problem with KFC?
What's that?
Pepsi place.
Oh. Way to be a downer.
Hey, do you know who's not a Pepsi place?
Where?
Popeyes.
Even better than KFC. That would be... If Japan were to evolve...
Yes.
Right? And they have evolved as a country. They're no longer the warmonger country that's, you know, destroying all of Asia and pushing a fascist regime and you know, doing all of that.
No. If you looked at, like, Hitler, rightfully so, kind of overshadowed a lot of things going on that time. But if you look at some Japanese history,
ask the Chinese, Koreans, and almost of Southeast Asia.
Oh, they're not big fans.
They were survivors.
Yeah,
of near Holocaust level proportion for sure.
Oh,
yeah. There's no downplaying how bad they were, but they have evolved. They have KFC. The next level 2.0 Japan, they're moving to Popeyes.
Popeyes.
That dude. Popeyes chicken sandwich.
Dude, you get that
it's a Christmas miracle.
That Cajun chicken breast, you're going to be so much happier.
You know, on that note, we're just going to end this podcast and wish everybody a very, very Merry Christmas.
May it be deep fried and may it be delicious.
A happy Hanukkah. How many days left are that?
I think a couple more. Merry Kwanzaa? Happy Kwanzaa?
A Merry Kwanzaa. A blessed Festimus. Oh, Festimus, man. For the rest of us.
Amen to that,
bro. And a happy new year.
All right. Happy new year, buddy. No, we'll do one before new year.
Oh, we are. We'll do it. We'll do it soon.
Okay.
It'll be our wish extravaganza. Good night, everyone.
Good night.